ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 60 एंड 61। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज कृष्णा द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। कर्माणि
कर्माणि अपरिमेयाणि मनसापि सुरेश्वरे सह संकर्षणश्चक्रे भगवान् मधुसूदनः।
कर्म ट्रांसलेशन विल टेक द नेक्स्ट वर्स आल्सो। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड एट कृष्णा with the cooperation of Sankarshan Balaram performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of even such personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. For instance, Krishna arranged the battle of Kurukshetra to kill many demons for the relief of the entire world. Text 61.
Kalau janishyamananam dukkashokatamonudam अनुग्राह्य भक्तानां सुपुण्यं वतनोद्यशः व्यतनोद्यशः।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। दस टू शो कॉजलेस मर्सी टू द डिवोटीज हु वुड टेक बर्थ इन द फ्यूचर इन दिस एज ऑफ कली द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड कृष्णा एक्टेड इन सच अ वे दैट सिंपली बाय रिमेंबरिंग हिम one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Purport. The Lord's activities of saving the devotees and killing the demons, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam, take place side by side. Krishna actually appears for the deliverance of the sadhus or bhaktas. But by killing the demons, he shows them mercy also. For anyone killed by Krishna is liberated. Whether the Lord kills or gives protection, he is kind to both the demons and the devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, with the cooperation of Sankarshan Balaram, performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of even such personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. For instance, Krishna arranged the battle of Kurukshetra to kill many demons for the relief of the entire world. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth to the in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Hare Krishna. So, we are entering into 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just about to be over with the 9th canto. And Shukadeva Goswami begins to narrate the dynasties of Chandra Vamsha. And that enhances the eagerness of Parikshit Maharaj. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, always Shukadeva Goswami gives the synopsis. If Parikshit Maharaj is happy with that, so that he can go to the next subject. But then Parikshit Maharaj is not eager, hearing only synopsis. And certainly will raise this question that I am not satisfied. Because in the fourth canto, Shukadeva Goswami spoke about the dynasty. He spoke the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu. But that dynasty lacked sweetness. Of course, Krishna's appearance is there in different forms. But that sweetness was not there. So when Parikshit Maharaj is listening to Shukadeva Goswami, the entire dynasty of Varshnis, the Pandavas, and certainly Krishna comes there. And in the 10th canto, Parikshit Maharaj raises the question, or in fact, he emphasizes. And he tells Shukadeva Goswami that please explain Krishna's pastime as elaborately as possible. He said, do not think because I am hungry, I am thirsty, I have not slept. This does not bother me. Just see the confidence. Our confidence that it bothers us. But Parikshit said, it does not bother me because I'm listening from you, these beautiful topics of Krishna. Therefore, I've gone, I've transcended it. And in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions, Parikshit Maharaj was saying, I already made that mistake, that I was thirsty and it costed me a lot. So I don't want to again fall back into the material modes. So go on speaking about Krishna. Go on speaking about Krishna Katha. And seeing the eagerness of Parikshit Maharaj, naturally Sukadeva Goswami was more enthusiastic. And he'll give, not the synopsis. Of course, how much can he speak? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, when Parikshit Maharaj was saying this, he said, I know, however much you speak, still how much can you speak? Krishna's katha is limitless, but we are limited. Therefore, whatever you can speak, you speak, and I will listen to it. And here are, as Sukadeva Goswami narrates Krishna's appearance, the reason for his appearance, we always see in the Bhagavatam, almost all the places, or in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Lord's appearance has two reasons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayacha dushkritam. He performs these activities simultaneously. One way he is giving assurance, another way he is giving chastisement. Like we were telling the children in the school, when Krishna comes as Vishnu, he has Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Usually, when people talk about life, you know, they have one opinion. They can't reconcile contradictory behavior. It is difficult. If you are violent, you can't talk about non-violence. If you are non-violent, you can't stand violence. But here Krishna, you know, the very form represents that he can reconcile everything. So he's coming with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shankha and Padma represents assurance, giving confidence to devotees, gives life. When Krishna came to Dhruva Maharaj, when Dhruva Maharaj saw Vishnu, he was speechless. He was speechless because of two reasons. One is Dhruva was in ecstasy. He was overwhelmed by seeing Vishnu that he could not speak. When you meet a great devotee or any great personality for that matter, you want to say so many things, but you become speechless. We have seen many times when somebody meets some first time their worshipable master, they can't speak, they are only crying tears, they are looking, they are staring. You want to say something, nothing. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was one of his disciples, when he came, he met him first time. He was very eager to meet him, say something, but he was not allowed. But the day when he was allowed to meet Saraswati Thakur, Saraswati Thakur saw him, and he saw Saraswati Thakur, the eyes met, and Saraswati Thakur was hoping that he will speak something. And he was an elderly, you know, already educated, refined Brahmana. So Saraswati Thakur was looking, he is looking, and Saraswati Thakur asked his disciple to ask him, you want to say something? He said, nothing. So Saraswati Thakur said, you want me to say something? He said, nothing. He was speechless. So similarly, Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw Vishnu, you can imagine Dhruva Maharaj's anger, passion, ambition. Being a Kshatriya, being insulted by his stepmother and more so neglected by his father. Sometimes insult is not so bad. As much as the, you know, when you are made to tolerate the insult. Father could not say anything. So Dhruva Maharaj was biting his lips. Bhagavatam explains as if he was trampled by as a snake which is trampled by somebody, starts hissing. His lips were quivering. And his mother expressed helplessness. She said, I can't do anything. One is the insult, one is the neglect, and third is helplessness. In these three things, the fourth one was unconsciously or consciously, his mother, when you have no other resources, then people say, you know, God will only help you. As long as they are confident of doing something, God does not come in picture. Whatever reason, she must have said with good understanding or because she was helpless, she said, only God can help you. Where do I find him? He said, go to the forest. So you can understand, Dhruva was confident. He had a great conviction to achieve what he wanted to achieve. But when he saw Vishnu, he's crying. He couldn't speak at all. And he was a small child also. What do you expect from a child? So what Vishnu did, he took his conch. Conch represents life giver. And as he touched his conch at the cheeks of Dhruva Maharaj, he was revived. You know, every sense of Dhruva Maharaj became awakened. Just like when somebody falls unconscious in the material world, they put onion to their nose. You know? Just the difference. But here Krishna plays the conch, the cheeks of Dhruva Maharaj, and then the verses, you know, started flowing in the from the mouth of Dhruva Maharaj, as is the flow of Ganga. So that gives the confidence. Similarly, when Prahlad Maharaj, we see, just now, everybody experienced the anger of Narsingadev. Narsingadev's anger was so powerful, so great, that instantly Narsingadev ripped off Hiranyakashipu, such a powerful personality, who scared all the demigods simply by the raising his eyebrows. He would control the demigods. That was his remote control. Indra, Chandra, Vayu, Agni, everybody was controlled. And that very Hiranyakashipu was killed instantly. Like, you know, Lord Vishnu, somebody is very powerful and you pluck their power, just Vishnu plucked him out like a grass is plucked out. Very insignificant. Still, Narsingadev was not very satisfied. Then he killed many of his demonic assistants. So in this condition, to expect peace from Narsingadev is very difficult. Therefore, all the demigods, they were offering prayers, but standing as far as possible. But all their prayers did not satisfy Lord Narsingadev. Even Lakshmi could not pacify him. But Prahlad came close. And Lord Narsingadev touched Prahlad. And as Prahlad was touched by Lord Narsingadev, and Prahlad says, what qualification do I have when all these demigods have offered their prayers and they were not able to satisfy it? But following in the footsteps of Gajendra, he remembered Gajendra. He said, Gajendra could satisfy you. So then Prahlad started speaking. Again, the assurance of the Lord is there. We see the pastimes of the Lord, which is not conceivable by the people. Prabhupada writes in the introduction to 10th canto, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also, that when people study Krishna's pastime, they say, you know, Krishna's, because plotting against the Kauravas, being responsible for killing hundreds sons of Kuru, and plotting against Jarasandha, therefore is suffering. How can he do it? In fact, some people say, because Krishna was responsible for killing hundreds of people, he's in hell. Yes, he went to hell according to Bhagavatam, but to save them. So therefore, this misunderstanding, because people cannot conceive that you cannot do contradictory things. If you do contradictory things, you are called as a hypocrite. If you claim that you are non-violent and violence is committed by you, then you'll be called as hypocrite. And at the same time, if you call yourself as very violent, very outgoing, full of valor, and you propose non-violence, then you are called as coward. Darpok. In fact, Bhima, we can see that when Krishna is going as a peacemaker, Krishna could understand everybody else. Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna, everybody said, you know, try, we are satisfied with five villages. And Bhima also said, Krishna, you know, try for peace. So Krishna said, what? He said, the sun is no more shining. Sun means it has to burn. He said, you are representing the opposite quality. He said, no, not like that. Bhima, again, he said, I am ready. I don't fear the Kauravas. But in just case, you know, the war should not be there. So whenever somebody, even Krishna, when he saw Bhima, that is expressing something against his nature, you know, he challenged or he questioned him or he simply tried to see where does Bhima stand. So it is not possible. It is impossible to reconcile opposite qualities. And the very fact in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying about himself that paritrana sadhunam vinashaya cha duskrutam. Therefore, Prabhupada in that purport, he explains that Krishna does not come to kill. Killing can be done by anybody. Killing, he said, he can do it or his representatives can do. But basically, Krishna comes to enlighten his devotees, entertain his devotees. They are suffering in this material world, and this is what this purport explains, that those who take birth in this age of Kali, naturally they have no access to Krishna. In other incarnation, in Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga, in Dwapar Yuga, you know, the incarnations were moving about. They would disguise themselves and go village to village. It was not necessarily for the people to come to the kingdom, because the Lord would move around. We study in the Bhagavatam how many times Krishna went to so many places. So many places he went. When he was going to Hastinapur as a peacemaker, he didn't fly. You know, he walked. He went by a chariot with the intention of giving his darshan to everybody. Lakhs of people saw him. When he came to Hastinapur, lakhs of people saw him. When he came to Mathura, lakhs of people saw him. When he came back to Dwarka, lakhs of people saw him. And wherever you go to in India, people say, Krishna had come here. We see that. Wherever you go, even though historically it may not be mentioned that Krishna went to this place, but if you ask the localites, nobody feels only Krishna only came to Dwarka, Mathura. Everybody will say, yaha Krishna aaye the. If you go to south also, there will be many stories of Krishna coming. And Krishna did come. How did he come? Because the conviction of people. Whether Krishna came historically doesn't matter. Krishna came because they feel that Krishna came. Therefore, sometimes we see, you know, many places like in south, there are three places where Hanumanji was born. He can be born only one place. In Nasik, there is Anjanadri. In south, there is Hampi. There is some place in Andhra Pradesh also. So the devotees are asking, how is it possible that Hanumanji can come to three places? It doesn't matter. As long as people are feeling, you know, they feel the presence of Hanumanji, what does it matter? You can start claiming tomorrow, you know, Hanumanji appeared in Nallasupara also. As long as your conviction is there and you are experiencing the presence of Hanumanji, it doesn't matter. Therefore, Krishna's appearance historically appeared in Vrindavan. But based upon our conviction, he can appear in our heart also. Krishna's appearance can take in our heart. Therefore, Krishna Leela, the Leela of the Lord, it is not necessarily historically precise. It is connected to how we feel, what's our heart talks about. So therefore, to understand Krishna Leela, we need right resources, right source, right guru, right parampara, so that they can reconcile. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains, what is bewildering even to demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, that how could Krishna do it? This Bhagavad Gita is the most deep philosophical treaty. You can't find such knowledge anywhere in the world. So deep. Nowadays even the management colleges are trying to make Gita study compulsory. Of course their whole study is based upon what do you get management aspect from here. SP Jain College, they made Gita study compulsory. Many more management colleges are trying to do it. Whenever our devotees, they say we want to conduct Gita course, they say, can you do it from a managerial point of view? Yes, there is management, but the management of how to practice our spiritual life, which they don't want. So, but this Gita is so deep. Even the great personalities like Mahatma Gandhi could not understand Gita, even though he studied every day. He could not reconcile Gita is spoken as a theology, as a philosophy. Then how can that Gita allow war to happen? In the 12th chapter of the Gita, Krishna speaks about the quality of a devotee. And if you study that quality, that Krishna is telling Arjun that a devotee of the Lord, he does not put others in agitation and is not agitated by others. He is equal to friend and foes. He is not attached to home. Aniketa stiramatir. Aniketa, Krishna is telling Arjuna, but he is saying, fight for your kingdom. Forget home. It is not about home. He said, no home, but he is asking them to fight for home. Therefore, people describe the battle of Kurukshetra as a fratricidal war. But it is not fratricidal war. It is not a fight between two families. It's not a court case on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But that's how people say. Therefore, it is difficult for people to reconcile. He's speaking in the 12th chapter, 20 qualities. You know, the qualities of a most refined gentleman. We don't see in the mundane world. Anapeksha. That absolutely no care. Udasina. That he has no care for himself. Harsha Marsha Bhayadvega. He said he does not worry about pleasure. Excitement, when it happens, we have no control over it. We feel excited. When there is lamentation, the results came out. You know, 10th standard, 12th standard. Some people were expecting more, they got less. Some people are expecting less, they got more. Either case, they raise some kind of emotions. You can't avoid them. People felt pleasure. People felt distress. So how can someone follow this quality? But Krishna is saying that such people are there. They can express this quality. We have in the Shastra, Sukadeva Goswami was so transcendental. Even if you keep sugar on his mouth, you know, on his lips, on his tongue, the sugar will not melt. That kind of neutral behavior was exhibited by Sukadeva Goswami. Absolutely indifferent to material world. Such kind of people are there. So Krishna is speaking that to Arjuna and at the same time is asking Arjuna to fight. When you fight on the battlefield, you know, when you speak, you have to speak boastful words. Just imagine, Yudhishthira Maharaj said something to Arjuna and Arjuna was ready to kill Yudhishthira. What to speak of his enemies? So whatever Krishna is speaking in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is absolutely not practiced on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. No home, fight for the kingdom. You know, equal to enemies and friends, you boast. With your words, you chastise the enemy. You shoot them. When Arjuna would shoot, the power of his arrows were so great. When he was shooting Bhishma Dev, they were so painful, extremely painful. Arjuna could pierce through and through. We can imagine, you know, Bhishma's body, when you take, sometimes devotees take acupressure. No? Acupressure is what? You know, just slight needle and they scream. Or recently somebody made a tattoo on his hand and it was swollen, he had to take antibiotic. Huge. It became big. But here Bhishma's body is being pierced through and through. And in that condition also Bhishma said, these are not the arrows of Shikhandi. He said, Shikhandi can't do this to me. He said, these are the arrows of Arjuna only. These are the arrows of Arjuna. In there also, there was chivalrous behavior. He was happy that Arjuna is shooting him but not Shikhandi. So you see, there is a violence, but at the same time, Arjuna is not a violent person. How can you reconcile this? Therefore, in the last days, Srila Prabhupada was talking to his disciples, said, people will not understand. How can they understand? They will not understand. Logically, if you try to present, logically it does not make any sense. However much you try to convince about Krishna conscious philosophy, the contradiction, you know, people will not be able to understand. So therefore, they have to reconcile with their own brain, and that reconciliation is the most dangerous one. That Krishna never existed. Kurukshetra is nothing but the field. Desires are Kauravas. And five senses are the Pandavas. Just see that how much disastrous one can create. Therefore, when we have Krishna in Krishna's pastimes, he is the most wonderful reconciler. When Putana came to Krishna, now she was the most beautiful. Apparently she became very beautiful. Internally she was very ugly. Very cruel. Ugly is okay, very cruel. All the coward people were bewildered. In fact, Kavi Karanapur explains, when the coward men saw Putana, they were ridiculing all the apsaras. They said, hey Ramba, he said, you are useless now compared to this beautiful damsel. Hey Urvashi, you are always glorifying yourself as the most beautiful. Now even the frog will not marry you. After seeing the beauty of Putana. And the Brajbasi ladies, seeing Putana, they felt she is none other than goddess of fortune. Even they were bewildered. So she came to Krishna. It is not like how Ram had to face Tataka. She came as a demon. Very clear. So Ram shot her. In Ram Leela, everything is black and white. You know, on the good side, they're all good people. On the bad side, there are bad people. If the good people from the bad side, they come to Ram, he accepts them. But in Krishna Leela, you know, who is good, who is bad, very difficult to understand. Even the devotees get bewildered. The Brajvasis were bewildered. But Krishna saw the beauty of Putana. He welcomed her. And she saw Krishna. In the words itself, there is a contradiction. Sukadeva Goswami narrates the word Ananta. Ananta means what? Krishna is limitless, but he is also Anta of mine. He is limitless. He has no end, but his end to me. Putana was thinking that he is going to kill me. So when Putana came to Krishna with the intention of offering milk to Krishna, Krishna drank the milk. Krishna drank the poison. And Krishna, when he started drinking the life air of Putana, she started screaming. So just see, the reconciling is happening here. He is taking the poison, he is taking the milk also. He is giving her punishment and he is giving her reward also. How can you do simultaneously? When you reward somebody, you are not punishing. When you are punishing somebody, you can't reward. Only Krishna can do it. He can reward and punishment. Can anybody experience that kind of punishment? In the school, you are punished. Nowadays, they don't punish also. Punishment is not allowed in the school. Therefore, the children punish the teacher. Because in the mundane world, punishment is considered as cruel. And if you only reward, reward becomes pampering. Anything in the mundane world is no good. Good is bad, bad is good, and both are bad. So Krishna here, no, you can never experience, you have never seen anybody punished like that. Not even any warrior can kill somebody like that. Sucking slowly, slowly. You take all the milk, you take all the blood. And then you take life air. She is screaming, Muncha, Muncha, leave me, leave me. And Krishna looks so innocent. And when Krishna is killing Putana, he does not expand his size. Another beauty of Krishna Leela. When Lord Narsingdev came to Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu was insignificant like mustard. Very clear. You know, Hiranyakashipu realized that I have no hope. But still, because he was a demon, he thought, I can fight. There is no chance. He was actually looking like a mustard seed. Therefore, when they were making the Mayapur deities, the sculptor, he said, if you want to make Lord Narsingdev, what size do you want Prahlad? Based on Prahlad's size, they said, we want Prahlad this much. He said, if you want Prahlad that size, then Lord Narsingdev has to touch sky. No? So it was very clear. Hiranyakashipu was no match. He was like a mustard seed. But in Krishna Leela, Krishna doesn't look like he's going to do anything. He's only going to, it's easy for me, an easy target. So he does not even increase his size. What to speak of increasing size? He does not even open his eyes. Like a small baby, when a baby, you know, you flash some light, what happens? The baby closes the eyes. Very difficult. baby cannot open also. But in closing his eyes, in not increasing his size, acting like an ordinary baby, what does he do? He just finishes the business. Gives such a punishment nobody has ever experienced. Even though she increases her size, she increases her size. See, Hanumanji, when he was fighting with that demon, both had to increase their size. But Krishna did not increase his size. He maintained the same. He didn't do anything. You know, as if holding balloon in his mouth. And sucked everything and she was killed. Punishment was given and instantly the reward of Golok was also given. Therefore, Uddhava, when he remembered in the presence of Vidura, he was overwhelmed. Because this reconciliation was there. Now, how can anybody take shelter of any other personality other than Krishna? Because she came to kill Krishna, but he did not, you know, he gave her his blessings. He gave her mercy. Same thing with Kaliya. Now, if you read the Kaliya's prayer also, now when Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, when somebody dances Bharatanatyam, Kathakali, Odia, no, and Krishna's dance. When Lord Shiva dances, it is a destruction. There is no question of any creation there. No, it's a Tandav Nritya. And Krishna's dance is much greater than Tandav. When he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, it was not easy. It was not easy for Kaliya, it was easy for Krishna. The best dancer. Not only the surface was plain, but the surface was moving all the time. Still Krishna is dancing. And to see Krishna's dance, to take part in Krishna's dance, all the demigods became the band. And everybody, someone was playing drum, somebody was playing, you know, flute. All many different personalities came to accompany Krishna's dance. And eventually that very dance of Krishna became death blow to Kaliya. When he was throwing poison, he was throwing blood. And eventually he was so exhausted. Then the Kaliya Patni, Nagapatni started offering prayers. And if you study again, there also the Nagapatni's prayers, they glorify Krishna. They glorify the good fortune of Kaliya. Is it good fortune if you are being kicked repeatedly again and again? Very painful. Yeah, the pain was there because of the bad behavior. But along with that pain, there was also greatest mercy, which is not even received by the demigods. Look, Rukmini, when she was aspiring for Krishna's shelter, she says, my dear Lord, she sent this message to a Brahmana. She said, Vanchanti Umapati Riva, that even Lord Shiva desires for your lotus feet. And to achieve your lotus feet, he is willing to perform tapasya. And the Kaliya was so fortunate, you know, along with punishment, he was also getting reward. Same thing happened with Trinavart. When Trinavart came, you know, created this heavy wind, and Krishna had a most beautiful ride. No, usually when you sit in the flight, you don't see outside. No, here Krishna was riding. It was a beautiful ride. So Trinavart gave pleasure to Krishna. It is not that Trinavart came to give pleasure to Krishna. This is how Krishna took it. Krishna, Trinavart came to kill Krishna. And then what Krishna did, he killed Trinavart very badly. Strangulated him right in the sky. And this very huge body fell down and cracked. Became chutney, you know. And still he got a perfection also. So we see Krishna Lila while on the Kurukshetra battle also, which is what Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. On the battle of Kurukshetra, if you study the description of war, the war scene is gruesome, horrific. It's not, there is no beauty in the war scene. You know, hundreds, millions of heads are lying and there is no water flowing, blood flowing. Prabhupada writes elsewhere. He said, many times the soldiers are killed because they are hankering for water. There is no water. It is not a beautiful field. It's a gruesome field. You don't find battlefield being very beautifully decorated. You know, anytime anything is happening. So in that war field to create beauty, it is impossible. And Krishna did that also. When they were chasing after Ashwatthama, Jayadrath. And that day the battle took greatest number of toll. And Arjuna, within no time, he killed two Akshayani Sainya. Imagine how many people getting killed. You know, one tsunami, 3,000 people get killed, and we just, all the time it's running around the television and Twitter, and all the countries are talking about, you know, 9/11, few thousand people killed. Of course, that killing is because it's only killing. There is no reward. But here in Kurukshetra, Arjuna's one arrow killed two Akshoyani Sainya. And then he continued. Arjuna was so fast that day, Mahabharata explains, that when he would shoot his arrow, before the target could reach the enemy, his chariot would be ahead of his target. That was his speed. Because he had to do it. You can imagine the speed of Arjuna's working, and you know, Krishna, it is not Arjuna's greatness. Arjuna shot his arrows, and Krishna is driving the chariot faster than Arjuna's arrows. That was the beauty of Krishna's, you know, expertise. But suddenly Krishna's horses became very tired, Arjuna's horses. And Krishna said, look Arjuna, they are very tired, we have to do something about them. Now the Kurukshetra field is so gruesome. What did Krishna do when he released the horses? We were seeing some picture in Udupi Krishna temple. They have this different dressing of the Lord, like we do for our Gopalji. You know, there was one scene where Krishna is giving grass to Arjuna's horse on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as if he's a coward boy. Now in Kurukshetra, that was the day when greatest number of people were getting killed. And what's happening? Arjuna, Krishna releases the horses and starts massaging them, pats them, nourishes them, brings them water. Now this entire scene is created on the field of Kurukshetra, and Vyasadeva writes in the Mahabharata, even though it was a battlefield of Kurukshetra, everybody remembered Vrindavan. Krishna can do that. In Vrindavan, he can give the memory of Kurukshetra, and in Kurukshetra, he can give you the memory of Vrindavan. And everybody stopped fighting. Nobody was fighting. Some were trying to fight Arjuna, and they're watching Krishna's beauty. They're watching Krishna do this, and they're watching Arjuna fight. People are so mesmerized. You know, they didn't know what to do. They were angry towards Krishna and Arjuna, but at the same time, they are appreciating also. And this is also remembered by Uddhava in the Bhagavatam. He says that when Krishna was shooting, fighting against the Kauravas, and when Krishna released those horses and came down, massaging them, feeding them, giving them water, that this one was so beautiful, even the opposing army. Now the difference between this army, Arjuna could not see the face of Krishna. Arjuna could only see the back of Krishna. And the enemies were fortunate. They were enemies of Arjuna, enemies of Krishna, but they were fortunate to see the face of Krishna. And because they were seeing the face of Krishna, they had enmity towards Arjuna. They were opposite to Arjuna, fighting against Arjuna, but at the same time they are appreciating the beauty of Krishna. Just see. And because they are appreciating the beauty of Krishna, Uddhava explains they were drinking the beauty of Krishna not through their hands. They were drinking the beauty. They made their eyes into cup. They made their eyes into a container. And they were just extracting the beauty of Krishna. And they were drinking it. And he's narrating this to Vidur. By doing it, what happened? All their contamination was taken away by Arjuna. Arjuna was shooting. As Arjuna was shooting, they were getting purified. And in this way, my dear Vidura, he tells this to Vidura, Uddhava, that all the people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, either they attained Brahma Jyoti or they went back to the spiritual world. So how can one understand, unless one understands through the perception of a devotee? Otherwise one makes great mistake. Like when Krishna was going back to Hastina, Dwarka, after the battle was over, you know, this one Uttanga Rishi, when he met Krishna, he wanted to ask Krishna, what happened on the battlefield? Did something happen? Were you responsible for killing? I hope the war did not take place. Uttanga was in his own world. So Krishna said, battle did take place and people got killed. He said, I will curse you. Now Uttanga, Rishi, wanted to curse Krishna. He's a Rishi. But he wanted to curse Krishna. Krishna said, you can curse me because your curse is in the mode of Rajogun and I am beyond gunas. So therefore your curse will not affect me. But the point is, even Rishi in those times could misunderstand what to speak of people now. Certainly, when they study Gita, they like the theology, but they don't like the history. Therefore, deny Bhagavad Gita. Deny the happenings of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, this is bewildering even for the demigods, but not to the devotees. Devotees can reconcile. Not that devotees are trying to reconcile because of imagination, that's a reality. All the people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as Prabhupada explains, because they were killed by Krishna or by Krishna's order because of their bad behavior, they achieved perfection. It is not imagination, it's a reality. Why? Because all their contamination was taken away. In this way, Krishna in the 10th canto, when he performs his pastime, very contradictory pastimes, from a material point of view, but if you see from the Shastra, if you see from devotee, if you see from Sukadeva Goswami does not find any contradiction. Even though sometime Parikshit Maharaj, as a sincere student, he will raise surprising questions. How can uncle be killed? Kamsa was killed by Krishna. I said, how can uncle be killed? You know, uncle is not supposed to be killed. So why did Krishna do? Then Sukadeva Goswami narrates. Ras Lila, I said, if Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the most pure, then how can he dance with other man's wife? Then Sukadeva Goswami doesn't, oh, you caught me on a wrong foot, you know, I can't answer this question. I don't know. I'm also bewildered. You don't find that. Or neither Sukadeva Goswami said, oh, you know, Ras Lila is all about the heart, you know, gopis are this and gopis are that. So many people have given so many, you know, obscuring the meaning and creating their own meaning, trying to avoid the real. He said, Ras Lila never happens. Giving an analogical or allegorical movement. He explains, he narrates the entire pastime of Ras Lila and whatever happened, exact all details, what Krishna did with gopis, and what gopis did with Krishna, what they are speaking, everything is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami without any hesitation because there was no bewilderment. There was no confusion in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj or in the Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, whatever stories are there in the Bhagavatam, and when people read them, you know, it is not that they got information from some other place to find out faults with Krishna. All the stories are there, narrated by Sukadeva Goswami, heard by Parikshit Maharaj as the most purifying things in the world. Even though apparently the stories are materially, apparently they look very sensual, but they are not sensual. They are most refined and pure stories. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Krishna Leela, the movement of Krishna Leela are very bewildering. We were discussing yesterday, Krishna Balram, here Prabhupada explains, in cooperation with Balram, Lord Krishna did many pastimes. But if you actually study carefully, Balram did not cooperate with Krishna in establishing Dharma. Rather, he was always opposing. That is also another, it enhances the pastime. We were discussing yesterday that in friendship, usually people are together because there is one boss and one servant. The boss says this is how it has to happen and the servant follows. In the family also, if the husband is boss and wife is the servant, it works. Or if the wife is boss and the husband is servant, that also works. But both are boss, then it doesn't work. In the home also, if the father is boss and son is the servant, it works. But now it's opposite, you know. The son wants to be the boss and father doesn't want to give up the bossship. So there is a conflict. In this mundane world, it's very simple. You don't see opposite views coming together and living harmoniously. You have to reconcile somewhere. Otherwise, separation takes place. And wherever there is a relationship, you know, there is some kind of difference of opinion also. So, reconciling the opposite view is very difficult. No fight is only possible in Brahmajyoti. Why? Because Brahmajyoti there is no action. Even in Goloka there is difference of opinion. So Krishna and Balaram, if you study carefully, like Balaramji is not like Lakshman. Lakshman had no mind. He had given his mind to Ram only. He had no separate existence. Lakshman never considered himself as brother of Ram, rather he considered as a servant. So whatever Ram told, he did. But Balaramji is very clear. He said, I'm your brother, I'm your older brother, you know, and therefore I can put my hand on your shoulder. You never find Lakshman ever doing that to Ram. Hey Ram, idara, you know, give me some. You don't find it. Very respectful dealings. So therefore there is no fight. Ram is the boss, Lakshman is the servant. Whatever Ram says, even though Lakshman didn't want to do, he didn't want Ram to go to the forest. He chastised his father, chastised Kaikai. Ram said, I am going. So Lakshman had to follow. Lakshman didn't want to put Sita through the test of fire. He looked at Ram, but he only looked at Ram. He could not do anything. You know, he had to create the fire. When Ram said, no talking, take Sita to the forest, banishment. He was upset. He was hurt. But he had no power to stop Ram. But in Ram, in Krishna Lila, you know, Ram, Balramji liked what Krishna did not like. The best is when Balramji decided to marry his sister to Duryodhan. You can imagine. He took all the responsibility, initiative. Vasudeva was against it. Devaki was against it. Of course, Subhadra, who will like Duryodhan? Therefore, very interesting. In the Mahabharata, you don't hear the wife's name is mentioned of Duryodhan. I have not read. You know, the name of Duryodhan's wife is not mentioned. You know, at least to protect her, if they know, okay, you Duryodhan ki patni, Duryodhan ki patni. No. So the name of Duryodhan's wife is not mentioned. And our Balramji, where our Bhagavatam says, he cooperated with Krishna, and what cooperation will conclude? You know, he is saying that we will marry Duryodhan to Subhadra. And Krishna did not say anything. When Arjuna came from his travels, you know, he was banished. He took that banishment on himself. And eventually, the last part of his banishment, he came to Raivat Parvat. And there, Raivat Parvat. And all the Yadavas had come for some festival. And in that festival, Arjuna happened to see Subhadra. And he fell in love with her. So he told Krishna. In fact, Krishna could recognize body language. Krishna saw the body language of Arjuna. And Arjuna said, can I marry her? He said, no problem. So how do I marry her? Should I marry through Swayamvar? You arrange Swayamvar? Krishna said, I don't know whom she wants to marry. You know, and after all, she is a girl. She might change her mind also in Swayamvar. Better you kidnap her. So the suggestion came from Krishna that you kidnap her. Because Krishna did not tell Arjuna the plan of Balramji. So then Bhagavatam explains that Krishna gave the suggestion to Arjuna, you accept the guise of a sannyasi. That's easier, so that you know you can understand all the strategy. You come to our place, stay in Dwarka, perform your chaturmas. No, Arjuna comes to Dwarka disguised as a sannyasi. When somebody acts as a sannyasi, they are better than the real sannyasis. So Arjuna came as a sannyasi and it is chaturmas. And then Balramji, after the chaturmas was over, he invited him for lunch. And he said, you stay with us. And he asked Subhadra to take care of Arjuna. Subhadra is a virgin girl and Arjuna is not a sannyasi. You know, Krishna said, are you sure you want our sister to take care of this young sannyasi? No, he's very clean, you can see him. Very pure. So then, you know, Arjuna was brought in their home. Krishna said, look, you are taking the decision. And then what Krishna, Arjuna is doing? Arjuna is simply narrating Subhadra is a young girl, you know, she is interested to know. Sannyasis, they keep on traveling everywhere, asking, traveling monk story, traveling preacher story, and the sannyasi is narrating. He said, the best part of my traveling is the Pandavas. They are the great. And among the Pandavas, Arjuna is the best. So she is becoming more and more interested. But the point you have to understand, when Arjuna is narrating about the Pandavas, now Subhadra does not know that this is Arjuna. She is fully, you know, confident that it is sannyasi only. But Arjuna knows that he is not a sannyasi. So he's talking about, you know, making it very clear that she is also with me. And before kidnapping her again, Arjuna had informed his family there back in Hastinapur. The message was sent to Yudhishthir Maharaj, Bhima and Kunti. Of course, not to Draupadi. No? She may not agree. So then they all agreed. Yes, it will be great, you know, to unite with the Vrishni family. We are already united. Let our unity become more stronger. And then eventually, when the time was ripe, Subhadra was, when she realized, one day Arjuna revealed, actually, you know, I am not a sannyasi, I am Arjuna. When he told that, Bhagavatam explains, Subhadra became very shy. She put her head down. She would not speak to Arjuna because she had a culture. No. She didn't jump in, you know, shameless ecstasy. You know, she still was a chaste girl. So then she realized the only way we can do is Rakshas Viva. So then she had to take this sannyasi for some temple. And she was driving the chariot. And they ran away from there. And Balramji was mad. He was so mad, and Krishna went to him, you know, folding his hands. My dear brother, please forgive. After all, he's Arjun. And I don't think it's a kidnap case. It sounds like it's a running away case. So then Balramji realized. So we see Balramji here, he acts exactly opposite of Krishna's desire. But still they work together. They stand together. Now they worship together. Therefore in Krishna Lila, that whatever Krishna decides, whatever Krishna desires, Balramji desires opposite. To enhance the pastime. To increase the flavor of the pastime. In Krishna Lila also. Krishna was, Balramji complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna ate dirt. No, and Krishna said, you know, Balramji is always against me. But still, even though they are opposite to each other, even that opposition, even that confrontation is reconciled. They come together and we worship them together. And therefore, Krishna and Balram, in Krishna Lila, they are not like Ram and Lakshman. They are opposite, but it enhances the pastime. Therefore, Krishna Lila, as we study, I remember one time I asked this question to Radhanand Maharaj about, you know, certain difficult topics. And he said, in every other part of the Bhagavatam, you can ask question. Krishna Lila is to just relish, is to enjoy. Of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Prabhupada do answer the questions. But most of the questions are answered in such a way not to mitigate our mundane doubt, because that has to be done before you approach 10th canto. But when you come to 10th canto, 10th canto is meant only for, in fact, the entire Bhagavatam is meant for those people who don't doubt Krishna, who are not envious of Krishna, and what to speak of 10th canto. 10th canto is the platform where we simply have to relish, to be absorbed in Krishna Lila. If the absorption is obstructed by objection, then there is no relish. But the absorption is there without stop. Therefore, Krishna came to perform his pastime. And that's what Prabhupada explains. To mitigate the suffering of devotees who are suffering, feeling separation from Krishna, Krishna came and he performed this most wonderful pastime, you know, flavored with all kinds of rasas. In Ram Lila, there is one rasa mostly. There are a few rasas here and there, only one humor. You know, in the entire pastime, there is only one humor. During Shurpanaka's time. And Shringaras, very little. And childhood pastime is not there only. You call it Balkan, but there is nothing in Balkan. Directly after Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughna and Bharat are born, suddenly Dasharatha is discussing about marriage only. And then coronation doesn't even take place. Karunaras is there. Adarsh is there. But in Krishna Lila, you know, everything is flowing so fast. Within Shringara, suddenly battle takes place. When all the gopis and Krishna were enjoying, Shankachud came and killing is there. Marriage, you know, you don't find within marriage, you know, yes, in marriage you can, people can dance. But just before marriage, there is killing is there. No, war is there. When Krishna went to marry Rukmini, it was not an easy marriage. The marriage is full of chivalrous. You know, in Kurukshetra battle, philosophy is there. You don't speak philosophy when you're doing some practical management. You know, right on the battlefield, the most difficult philosophy. When people say, whenever they have to do some practical thing, abhi philosophy baat mat kar. No? Dimag mein nahi jayega. Philosophy is meant for when you are not doing anything. But here, you can't be more doing something most critical than fighting on the war. Much more difficult than performing surgery on the surgical table. The war field. In that war field, Krishna very coolly speaks philosophy. So therefore, Krishna's lila, Krishna's activities, you can't predict what will happen. While speaking philosophy, war can take place. And while war is happening, philosophy can take place. Therefore, Krishna is the most wonderful personality. And if you allow him to go in his style, and you observe, if you want to catch Krishna, hey, wait, not like this. No, then you'll stay far away from Krishna. You have to see how he moves, you know, from every direction. You know, while speaking non-violent philosophy to Arjuna, he is proposing violence. And therefore, it is bewildering for non-devotees. But for devotees, they see, this is the personality of Godhead. Only Krishna can do it. No Vishnu can do it. Vishnu's activities are so predictable. No, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma can never move out of his hand. They're always there. But Krishna, in conclusion, when Brahmaji saw Krishna, after trying to bewilder Krishna, he tried to bewilder Krishna. And that was the greatest bewilderment he ever experienced in his life. He tried to bewilder Krishna, he could not. And this is another amazing thing, that Krishna is acting like the most insignificant coward boy, surrounded by his coward friends, sharing their tiffin. You know, some Vrajbasis always tell this story that when Krishna saw Madhu Mangal not share his chas, buttermilk, hiding in the bush and trying to drink. And that was the time Krishna went and he saw Madhu Mangal gulping buttermilk in his mouth, and Krishna just, you know, punched his cheeks and all the buttermilk fell into Krishna's mouth. And Brahmaji was bewildered. Hey, this is not God. Can't be God. You know, to offer bhoga to God, how many mantras, how many pujas, how much purification you have to do? All the pujaris, beginning from bath, then achman cleanliness, and then, you know, the plate has to be clean. So much of, most of the time, rather than offering, the time goes in purifying. If you study carefully, of course, especially in the temple when you offer bhoga, you know, bhoga timing is not big, but purifying timing is big. You know, women have to cover their head, cover their face, and then ingredient has to be cleansed. Nobody has to see it. If anybody sees, for Lord Jagannath, if dog sees, entire bhoga has to be thrown. And when they bring it inside, then again there is achman. So much of purification. But here, that same God whom we offer with all that purification, what does he do? He transfers from somebody else's mouth to his mouth. Most muchi. You can never do that. I remember sometime few brahmacharis were eating murmura together in our prasadam hall, and Radhanand Maharaj says, this is jalti. How can you do like this? Eating from one plate, four people? He didn't just say, he chastised them. He said, one plate for one devotee. You can't share your plate with some other person. It's dirty, it's moochy. And here Krishna directly from mouth to mouth. So naturally Brahmaji's head was spilling everywhere. He has four heads and his head is made of intelligence. He was totally bewildered. He said he can't be God. And here Krishna is acting so, you know, rustic. There is no refinement in regards to behavior with coward boys. You You know, there is, they are eating. If you go to Vrindavan, where is that Yomasur place? Kamyavan, where there is no plates also. They just, you know, spread their food on the rocks. No, no, it's not a very organized, cultured way to eat. Rustic rocks are there, they are eating, they are jumping, they are playing. Naturally, you know, people like Brahmaji got bewildered. But in that rustic pastime also, the most insignificant coward boys, Krishna transforms them into 400 Vishnu form. Simplicity becomes, you know, extremely opulent. All opulence are seen by Brahmaji in that most insignificant coward boy. And when Brahmaji realizes that made a biggest mistake, then he sees how Vrindavan is reconciled. How does Vrindavan get reconciled? The most dangerous animals living friendly to each other, or the most innocent animals living friendly to each other with a cruel animal. Deers are kissing the tiger. And then when Brahmaji saw that, he said, this is Vrindavan. And then the first verse in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavatam, which Brahmaji offers prayers to Krishna, you know, again you see that reconciliation. Beautiful verse. Naumidyate abhra vapusha taditambaraya gunjavatamsa paripichalasanmukaya. That when Brahmaji saw Krishna, how is he standing? Glittering, darkish, like a cloud. And he has rice holding. Where do you hold your rice? In your right hand or left hand? You hold in your right hand, but Krishna holding rice in left hand. Holding rice in his left hand, mixed with yogurt, Sanatana Goswami says, and stick in another hand. And then he has buffalo horn and his flute tucked to his waist and is standing there. And Brahmaji saw that. Again, I was telling the children that rice represents, you know, nourishment and stick represents punishment. So that's how Krishna is most beautiful, that he can perform these two contradictory activity simultaneously for the pleasure of devotees and rectifying the demons and giving them also perfection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. We'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanandai.